Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. You're all very welcome this Sunday morning as we worship together here in First Relief Ireland. If you're a visitor with us, good morning to you and welcome. And if you're watching, listening online, it's good to have you with us here from First Relief Ireland. And we trust and pray that you enjoy our morning worship service here from the wee town on the hill. I just have some announcements to make in advance of the service this morning, so just bear with me for just a few moments and I'll be as quick as I can. Just a reminder to say the Kirk session will meet tomorrow evening in the Morrison Room at 7:30 p.m. Then on Wednesday evening, midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will be in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. And that will then be followed on Thursday of this incoming week, the 16th of April. Thursday fellowship will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall. And the speaker this month will be the very Reverend Dr. S. John Dixon, who needs no introduction here in First Relief Ireland, being a former minister here from 1970 until 1980. So I'm sure many of you would like to go along to that on Thursday morning to hear from Reverend Dixon, and I know you'll be made very welcome, and we would encourage you to go along to that meeting. Then next Sunday morning, prayer meeting in the the Minor Hall at 11 a.m., and that'll be followed by morning worship here, and that service, DV, will be led and conducted by our own minister, the Reverend Moody. Then next Sunday evening, just a wee note for your diary, just to say that the Churches Together evening service will be in Brookvale Presbyterian Church, and that's at 6:30 p.m., and the speaker at that service will be our own minister, the Reverend Moody. So it'd be good if we could make a wee plan to be there for that service. And then a note for our young people next Sunday evening, the 19th of April, to say that youth fellowship will be held in the Morrison Room at 8 p.m. Just also to say that there's a plan to organise communicant classes. And if you're interested in that, or if you'd like to find out more information about becoming a communicant member of the congregation, please speak to the Reverend Moody, and he will give you all of the details about that. Now, if I'm sure you know and you remember from last week, the wee Easter Mission envelopes are in the vestibule and have been distributed from last week. Those are available, and those will be collected during the month of April. And a reminder just to say that the charities that will benefit from that are the European Christian Mission, CEF, Belfast City Mission, Moldova, and Every Home Crusade. So if you feel led, you can pick one of those up, and you have to the end of this month to complete that and to fill that in for the mission. These are all announcements, and as we come to worship this morning, we read from Psalm 16. Some lovely words here from Psalm 16, verse 7, and it says this: I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will you let my Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen. We pray indeed that the Lord will bless to each of our hearts the reading of his holy word this morning. And as we come to worship and we sing our first item of praise together, that wonderful hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Our song shall rise.
Now, if you have your Bible with you or the pew Bible there, feel free and I'd encourage you to turn with me to the book of John. And our reading this morning is from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, reading from verses 19 through to 31. And this passage is entitled, Jesus Appears to His Disciples. So it's John chapter 20, beginning to read at verse 19, and we'll read through to 31. Let us hear God's word. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and said, The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. We pray indeed that the Lord will bless to each of our hearts the public reading of his word this morning. Now I'm going to call upon Colin Boyd now. And Colin's going to come and read a portion of scripture for us. And then after that, he's going to invite the children down to the front and he's going to speak with them. Thank you, Colin.
Our second Bible reading is found in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to read the first 16 verses. And this is in conjunction with the children's address. We're into a new book this week, and it's about Elijah. So if you listen carefully, you understand what the story is about. So we'll start to read from verse 1 from chapter 17, and it's entitled, Elijah Fed by Ravens. Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook that I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in the place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked her, Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I might have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that he may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says, the jar of flour will never be used up, and the jug of oil will never run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoke by Elijah. Amen. Now, if we could ask the boys and girls to come up to the front, please. Now, is that everybody? I think so. Good to see you. So, everybody have a nice Easter. Nice break. Holidays all over. Easter eggs all gone. Yeah. Back to school in the morning, so not mention that. Bad word. Okay. Tell me this. Does anybody ever mention the weather forecast in your house? Yeah? All the time? It's nearly always a talking point in everybody's house at some stage of the day, and quite often, because in this country, well, it goes from one thing to the other very quickly, doesn't it? Now, it usually looks like this. Whenever Celia Daly is given her forecast, or Barra Best, or whoever it is, it usually looks like this most of the time, doesn't it? Rain, rain, and more rain. And this last few days, we've been getting a wee bit of this, haven't we? This poor wee man, he's holding on to his hat, his umbrella's gone, and he's struggling, isn't he? So we had a storm last weekend. So we did, and there was a bit of a one even on Friday night. I got up on Saturday morning, my TV aerial was lying in the driveway, so it must have been bad enough. So, yes, the weather is funny sometimes in this country, isn't it? And it can go from one extreme to the other. And you know something? Everything's determined by the weather, isn't it? We make decisions every day about what clothes we're going to put on, or what we're going to do, or where we're going to go, whether we're going to cut the grass, or whether we're not going to cut the grass, or whether we're going to go for a walk. And you know, it's the same even in big events. What happened a few days ago? Anybody been following this story? What did they call the rocket? No? You know? Artemis? Was it Artemis? And the Artemis 2 mission set off, and I was just reading up about this to see, was there any chance that it wouldn't go ahead if the weather was bad? And yes, if the weather hadn't been right, it would have been abandoned, because there was a mission back in September, I think it was 2022, and there was a hurricane, I think it was called Hurricane Ian, and it was abandoned because the weather was too bad. So even big events like this can all be determined by what's happening in the sky. And of course, we all know who's in control, don't we? God is in control at all times. But I also read a very interesting fact about one of the four men who, of course, as you know, returned safely. They plopped down into the Pacific Ocean. Was it the night before last? And they're all home safely. But this guy here, Victor Glover, he gave thanks to God for a safe return, because he realized that there's a bigger picture out there than just the moon and the earth and the stars. And he gave thanks to God for the safe return of the Artemis 2, okay? Today we are going to talk about somebody in the Bible, and if you're listening carefully to the story, it's about a man called Elijah. And Elijah was one of God's prophets. And there was many prophets in the Bible, but God set this man apart because he was special. And we're going to hear a lot about that, especially out in Sunday school over the next couple of weeks. Does anybody know what the word Elijah means? This might be a hard one.
Anybody in the congregation? Choir? No. Okay. Elijah means the Lord is my God. Okay. So with a name like that, we know that he was special in God's eyes, and God had a special plan for him. And you know, he has a special plan for us all. And we're talking a wee minute ago there about the weather forecast. And whenever we look back in the Bible, we realize that Elijah probably was the first Barabbas or the first Cecilia, because in the first couple of verses it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe and Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word." So he predicted there was going to be no rain for not just for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, but for a few years. So here we have the first weather forecast man in the Bible, isn't it? Though if you go back further to the Genesis, Noah, okay, now it wasn't Noah who said it because God said it. So really God was the first forecaster. He said there was going to be it was going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, which it did, if you remember the story about the ark. But Elijah predicted this, okay, that there was going to be no rain for a few years. And you know, God is always in control in everything that happens. Everything that we do, God is in control. And it's often said that there's no such thing as bad weather. It's just bad choice of clothing. So you have to pick your clothes, don't you, to see what you're going to go out and wear, if the weather's really bad or really sunny. But God is always in control, even with the weather. Now, does anybody know what that is? It was mentioned in the Bible reading, if you're listening carefully. It's not a crow. It looks like a crow. Anybody know? Raven. Yes, it was a raven. Now, the ravens are mentioned more than once. Where else was the raven mentioned in the Bible before this story? Where did the start of the Bible? Anybody remember? Remember the story of Noah? Whenever the boat came to rest, they sent a bird out. And this was the bird that was sent out. And the reason why ravens are mentioned, I think, 11 or 12 times in the Bible, is because ravens are a very smart and a very clever bird, okay? More so than any other bird. And they can foresee things, and they know things that ordinary birds wouldn't know. So God used this bird in this story because he used this bird to feed Elijah whenever he had to hide away from King Ahab. And this bird is mentioned quite a few times in the Bible. But you know, this bird provided for Elijah, which was good to keep him alive and to see him through the bad times. But you know, God provides for us every single day, doesn't he? When we all go home, hopefully we're all going to have our Sunday dinner. And I don't know what that will be. It could be chicken, could be roast. But we all get something to eat, don't we? Every single day. More than one meal a day. And there's many folks in the world who don't have that privilege. So we should give thanks to God for what he gives us each and every day, because he is a good God and he is a very powerful God. Now, just like a whole lot of things in life, we don't know what the future is. Sure, we don't. We can't tell what's going to happen 2 hours from now, a week from now, a year from now. But we know that if we have God by our side, that he will see us each step of the way. And there's a verse in the Bible, and it tells us this. This verse is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And that is a brilliant verse to know of by heart, because it's a reassurance to you and to everybody here that God, if we know him, love him, trust in him, that he will never leave us or forsake us, even in the bad times, whenever we're having stormy days, when we're having bad days. So remember that verse, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So we're all now going to stand and sing. Have you heard the wonderful? Okay, have you heard the wonderful? Now, I never know the actions to this one, so I'm not going to even try them. But if you know the actions, don't be afraid to do them, okay? We did it at the Easter Club, so if you were at the Easter Club, you should remember this one. Again, thanks to Margaret for playing and for the AV team for seeing me through this today. Thank you very much. So let's all stand and sing, "Have You Heard the Wonderful, Absolutely Marvelous, Awesome, Great, and Fabulous News About Jesus."
So thanks to Colin for helping out this morning again, for reading for us, and also for leading and speaking to our young people. Very much appreciated indeed as they leave now for Sunday school. And so it's our opportunity now just to quieten ourselves and to bring to God our prayers of intercession. So let us just bow our heads and unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning with grateful and thankful hearts. Lord, we thank you for this, your day. We thank you, Father, for the gift of life and how precious that is. We thank you, Father God, for how you provide for us, how you make sure that we have everything that we need to survive here on this place that you created for us called Earth. Lord, we very much take for granted the things that you do for us, Lord, and our expectations are very high. For Lord, you give us the breath that we need to survive. You help us have the comfort of a bed and to have a decent night's sleep and that opportunity to rest our weary bodies. But you waken us up with your sunrise and you give us the breath to breathe again. And Lord, you open our eyes that we might see and our ears that we might hear. And you give us all of those great senses that we need, Lord, to survive. And yet how many times do we repeat that process day by day and not once do we say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for making us the people that you have made us to be. Thank you for placing us here on the earth, Lord, for us to enjoy and for you to enjoy us. Forgive us, Lord, for when we sin and when we go against your will, the will that you have for our lives, Lord, how we're so independent and sometimes, Lord, we're so arrogant that we ignore you, but you forgive us. Lord, this morning we ask you to continue to forgive us, Lord, for the times when we don't acknowledge who you are and the things that you do for us, Lord, even right now. We thank you, Father God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and how you brought him to this earth to walk amongst us, to engage with us and to speak to us and to bring your word to us, Lord, and how you sent him to that cross to die for us, for our sins. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for that. Forgive us, Lord, when we ignore that sacrifice. Forgive us, Lord, that even 1 week after Easter, when that biggest mission of all time, Lord, is ignored. Forgive us, Father, we pray. But Lord, we're thankful for this congregation. We thank you, Lord, for the people here in First Rathfrey Island Presbyterian Church, Lord. We thank you for the people that have gathered in this morning who have faithfully came here to come to worship you. We thank you for each head that's bowed, Lord, in this meeting house this morning. We thank you for each home from where everyone comes from, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to bless each one individually and to bless each home, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the believers in this place. We thank you, Father God, that as believers, we will be an effective witness here in this community. Lord, that we'll not keep the gospel message, that great news story, that we'll not keep it to ourselves, that we are only the benefactors. Lord, help us to be brave, to be confident, and to step out beyond the gates of this place, Lord, proudly proclaiming your word, proudly proclaiming our association with you, proud to say who we are. For we thank you, Lord, for the people here. We thank you for our church family, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful, amazing people that we have here, Lord, in this place, the folk who work tirelessly throughout this congregation in so many ways to ensure that your word continues to flourish and is being spoken about, Lord, through the many activities that are run here week on week. But we're conscious, Lord, that as we come here today as humble human beings, Lord, that we are sinners and we fail you, and there are so many things, Lord, that we seek your help for. But today we're mindful, Lord, of the heartache and the pain that many people are experiencing here, even in this place this morning. For Father God, we pray for those amongst our congregation who are sick, those who are just feeling unwell, and the pain of sickness, Lord, is just a very heavy burden to carry. Lord, our prayers this morning that you will draw close to those either here or those listening online or those closest to us, Lord, who are unwell. We ask you, Lord, that you'll draw close to them and that you will wrap your loving arms around them. We think too of those who are bereaved. Lord, we pray for the folk in our church family who have experienced bereavement in recent days and even in days gone past. For the pain of bereavement is real and it hurts. And our prayer this morning is, Father God, that you will draw close to those who are still feeling that loss this morning and just feeling that bit anxious and lonely and in bewilderment, Lord. We ask you to draw close to them and reassure them that, Lord, that you are still there, that you're still with them by their side. We pray for those in our church family who are feeling anxious and the burden of anxiety is a great thing. Lord, we pray for those who are just feeling life a bit tough at the moment. Maybe it's because of a health issue. Perhaps it's the uncertainty of employment. Perhaps it's financial burdens, Lord, particularly in this climate that we're currently experiencing with the fuel crisis. Lord, we just pray for those who are just worried about tomorrow, worried about the week ahead, worried about their future. Lord, we bring all of these people before you, Lord. And our prayer would be that you will draw close to each one, Lord, and that you will comfort them and guide them and protect them as they face perhaps some very challenging days. So, Father God, we just pray for ourselves, for many of us, as we gather here in this place this morning, bring our own issues with us, the things that we lock away. The things aren't visible by the naked eye, Lord, but you know, Lord, the condition of our hearts. You know the condition of our minds. You know, Lord, exactly what our thoughts are and how we're thinking and what our actions are. And we're told in your word, Lord, that you even know us by the number of hairs in our heads. You know us intimately. We can't hide from you. And so, Father God, for just the next few moments in the quietness and the stillness of this place, Lord, we want to bring to you and before you, Lord, the things that are heavy and are pressing in our lives, Lord, the things that we lock away from public view, the things, Lord, that We don't want anybody to know about the things that are the big secrets for us. And we pray now, Father God, just as we meet here together in this meeting place, Lord, and we bring each of our concerns before you in prayer. Heavenly Father, be with us always, praying as you taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so we're all going to join together and sing a lovely piece, In Christ Alone. Let us all stand and praise God together. So just for the next few moments, I want us to reflect and think about that reading that we read together from John chapter 20, 19 to 31, and we think about the life 7 days later after the resurrection. And so We want to think about the room where it happened and the life 7 days later. For last week, I suppose for many of us, we should have been up on the mountaintop. We should perhaps have been up at Spelga in the early morning. But as Colin rightly said, the weather always is the thing that we have to watch out for. And because of the bad weather, that dawn service was moved to Clonduff. But we had a great service here in the morning and again in the evening. And the praise band were in full flight. The choir were in great tune. And we all celebrated the biggest win in the history of the universe. Now, I know this past week in the media and the news story, the big win has been that journey to the moon, hasn't it? That's been the big news story about that big journey to the moon. But last weekend, we celebrated the biggest win in the history of the universe, that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen. But here's the reality of each of our human hearts. We can celebrate the miracle on a Sunday, and we could possibly be off on Monday. But by Tuesday, we're back to worrying about things again, aren't we? We're back to worrying about our bank accounts and just things that perhaps distract us from having a full and open relationship with God. We can believe in the resurrection within our heads, but sometimes we live that our hearts appear to be defeated. And for some in the church calendar, day is often called Low Sunday. And why is that? Why do they refer to today as being Low Sunday? It's because the adrenaline of last week has worn off. The Easter high has faded away. But I want to suggest today that the power of the Christian message isn't measured by how loud we sing on Easter, but it is measured by how we live 7 days later, and 7 days later again, and 7 days later again. Because the gospel, the good news of the cross, isn't just a trophy that we put on the shelf once per year, but like the Christmas tree. Bring the Christmas tree out for 2 or 3 weeks in the lead up to Christmas, then it's boxed away again. Sometimes you can treat the Christian calendar like that. But the gospel, the good news of the cross, is the fuel. It's the fuel for our actual messy daily lives. And today, for just a few moments, we're going to take a bit of a journey to that upper room. That upper room where what we read about, and where the disciples were hiding exactly 1 week after the resurrection. And we're going there to see 3 ways that the power of the cross can change our normal basic lives. And the first point I've made is power over our locked doors. Power over our locked doors. And John tells us that the disciples were together and the doors were locked. They were locked for fear. Fear of the leaders. And it's not just a picture of us. It's not just a picture of us. Even though that the disciples had heard the rumors that Jesus was alive, they were still paralyzed by fear. They were afraid of what people would think of them. They were afraid of getting canceled out or arrested. They were afraid that their association with this man named Jesus was going to cost them everything. And in Presbyterian circles, we talk about the sovereignty of God. And that sounds like a big scary phrase, and what does it mean? Well, it just means God goes where he wants. God goes where he wants because he's the boss. And notice that Jesus didn't wait for them to have enough faith. He just didn't wait till they had enough fuel to have enough faith to welcome him in and to open that door. And he wasn't maybe like what we're like in our daily lives. He didn't pick up his mobile phone outside the locked door and say, "Here, boys, stop being such cowards. Unlock that door and I'll come over." The Bible tells us that he just stood among them. He didn't wait for that door to be open. What I'm wondering is this morning is, I wonder what our locked doors are this morning. What's our locked doors? Maybe it's a secret. I have them. I have them. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe we're carrying a sin or a habit from our past that we think could maybe make people leave our company if they only knew what is behind our locked doors. Because I'm sure if you're anything like me, you perhaps have locked that door very tight. But I know I have. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe you're a very anxious person, you're struggling with anxiety, and you're so worried about your children, your family, the family, extended family, the family circumstances. Maybe it's your own personal health, and you're just emotionally locked down. Well, the power of the cross is this. On the cross, Jesus took the lock of sin and death, and he broke it forever. And that's the good news. And he proved that no barrier, no locked door, not even a tombstone, and certainly not your front door, your back door, or your bedroom door will ever, ever keep him out. So this week's takeaway is this for you and me. You don't have to invite Jesus into your mess because he's already there. You don't have to be good enough to get his attention. The cross was God's way of saying, I am coming after you. No matter how many locks you put on that door, I'm coming after you. And I'm looking out for you. The second point I have entitled, Power Over Our Failures. Think about that awkwardness in that room that we read about in John. These disciples had abandoned Jesus just a few days prior. Peter had denied Jesus. Every one of them had run away. Now, I don't know what about you, but if I had been Jesus, I might have walked into that room and I might have had a very frank conversation with them men. Because I might have said to them, all right, boys, let's have a wee chat about Friday. Where were you boys when I needed you? Would you agree? I know that's where I'd have been. But the theology is made simple. And that is what we call justification by faith. It's a very fancy term that means the bill has been paid. The price has been paid. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took that IOU note of all of our sins, every lie, every selfish thought that we have, and every time we've let him down, and he nailed it to that wood. Because the debt was paid on Friday, and Jesus can offer peace on Sunday. He isn't looking for a payback. He isn't looking for you and me to make it up to him. Not like us, because most of us in our human life, we keep a mental scoreboard in our heads, don't we? I know I do. We feel good when we pray and read our Bible, and we feel like God is mad with us when we don't. But the power of the cross, I believe, destroys that scoreboard. And whenever you and I feel the weight of, I'm not good enough, I'm not a good enough parent, I'm not a good enough husband or wife, perhaps I'm not a good enough Christian, well, all we have to do is to look at the cross and remember Jesus was punished so that we could live in peace. The cross gives us the power to say, I'm sorry to someone else. Why? Because you aren't afraid of being wrong anymore. Your worth isn't tied up in being perfect. It's tied up in being loved by the one who was perfect for you and for me. Now, the third point I've entitled Power in Our Scars. And I suppose this point we have to think about Thomas, don't we? Poor Thomas, he gets a bad rap for being the doubter. And I don't know what you're like, but I know what I'm like. There are times I'm a bit of a doubter on things. And I believe that Thomas is actually probably quite normal. And he's the person in that room on that day that actually says, you know what? I need evidence. I'm like that. You need to show me the facts. If you're having a debate with me, show it to me in paper. Show me the facts. And Thomas is no different here. He says, look, I need to see for myself. But when Jesus shows up, he says, Thomas, look at my hands. Reach out. Reach out and touch them and touch my side. Jesus rose from the dead with a new, glorious body, but he kept the holes in his hands. Why? Because the cross is the only thing God wants us to remember for eternity. The scars are the proof of the purchase. Do you know, we spend so much energy trying to look like we have it all together, don't we? And I don't know what about you, but I'm sure if you look throughout many people's social media accounts, be it Facebook, be it Instagram, whatever that may be, people want to make their lives look perfect. And I think that's the biggest challenge our young people face today, is that sense of deceit on their social media accounts where everything looks so perfect. It just looks like they have everything together. Because on our social media, we hide our scars, our imperfections, our past. We hide our addictions. We hide our mental health struggles. We even hide our family dramas. We don't post that. But the Christian message is that God's power is most visible in our scars. Your scar and my scar, whatever that might be, of a past failure, is often the very thing that God uses to help someone else who's failing. The power of the cross means that your mess and my mess becomes our message. The experiences, the struggles that we have had personally and how we've overcome them with God's help is the thing that we use to help and encourage other people who are maybe facing similar things. If Jesus isn't ashamed of his scars, well then, why should we be ashamed of ours? And when we are honest about our weaknesses, it actually shows the world how strong God is in each of our lives. So what's my concluding thoughts for this morning? Well, it's this. What about the Monday morning miracle? The Monday morning miracle. So here we are, 25 past 12 or thereabouts, Sunday afternoon. It's been 7 days. It's been 7 days since we've had our Good Friday service and Easter Sunday celebrating the resurrection. What do we do when we walk out of these doors today? And what do we do when we hit the real world tomorrow morning for real? Because the world hasn't changed. The world hasn't changed much in a week, has it? Because the news agenda is still heavy. The news agenda is tough. Oh, it's a tough watch and it's a tough read. Whatever your employment is, be you self-employed or employed, the boss is still demanding. That's the real world. And equally, that doctor's appointment it could still be on the calendar and is still on the calendar. Those are the pressure points of real life. But while the world stayed the same, you and I were changed. Because 1 week later, the tomb is still just as empty as it was on Easter Sunday. And I want you to hear this clearly this morning. The cross of Jesus Christ just didn't fix our eternity. It was designed, I believe, to fix us right now. And when you and I woke up this morning, that old anxiety tries to knock on a door. But remember this. Be courageous. Have courage. Because you can be brave. Not because you're strong, but because you follow a king who walks right through locked doors to find you. You're never alone. Ever. And you're never alone in your own personal upper room, wherever that room is. When that voice in your head starts listing all of your mistakes, all your past errors, remember this. You and I can be at peace. We can be at peace because the debt isn't pending. It isn't overdue. Always remember that the debt is paid. You don't have to spend your energy trying to earn God's love and to get to spend your energy enjoying it. And when you look at the parts of your life that feel broken, like I do, we need to remember this. We can be honest. You don't have to wear a mask in this church or in your life. Your scars aren't your shame. They are your places where God's light shines through at its brightest. Folks, this week, we need to stop trying to be super Christians. Stop trying to prove that we're perfect. All we need to be is a cross-covered Christian. And whenever you and I feel overwhelmed this week, I want us to literally stop what we're doing. Stop what we're doing. Whenever you're feeling the pressure this incoming week, maybe the work situation is not going well. Maybe the health isn't great. Maybe there's a sick family member. You're under pressure trying to juggle things. I want you to stop and look down at your own hands. Yes, they might be tired. Yes, they might be shaken with fear and anxiety. Yes, they might be dirty with whatever you're doing, whatever your manual job is or whatever you're doing in life. Yes, they might look stressed. And as you look at all of that, then in your mind's eye, take a look at his hands. Take a look at his hands and imagine the scars in his hands. For those scars in Jesus' hands says this, and this is the message that comes from him. I love you. I love you. I've got you. And I am not letting you go. Because the great message of the gospel is this. No matter what you're experiencing, no matter what I'm experiencing, he's holding us. You are held by him. You are forgiven by him. And now you are sent by him to live like that message is true. And we need to leave this place today to go live like that message is true. And as Colin reminded us, and we didn't chat or converse about any of this today, but as he read a simple verse for us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you remember nothing else today, remember that verse, for that's the greatest promise that you and I will ever hear. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. There's not many of our friends could tell us that, but Jesus can. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that the cross is enough. Thank you that 1 week later, the miracle is still true. Lord, help us to live this week not in fear, but in peace that only you can give. Amen. And now we're going to stand and sing together our final hymn, To God Be the Glory. And thanks again to Margaret, to Colin, and to the AV team, and anybody who has helped today. Your help is always greatly appreciated. Thank you. Let us stand and sing, To God Be the Glory. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one this day and forevermore. Amen.